Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
Morning, sir.
Morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning,
yes,
Joseph.
Morning, J.D. Williams. Are you going to go golf?
I'll see you at the club. I'll see you at the club later on this afternoon.
Are you going yachting today? What's
on the back nine?
With the Southie, probably not.
All right. It's Super Bowl week, guys. But the NBA trade deadline, have you heard of it?
No.
Super Bowl week.
No idea.
The NBA trade deadline is 2 days away. And yesterday on the show, we asked Kendrick Perkins if he would trade James Harden to the Sixers for Ben Simmons. Here's Perk.
Yeah. And if I'm James Harden, I want to get traded. I want to go play with the big fella. I want to go play with the league leading scorer, one of the most skilled big men, if not the most skilled center to ever play the game. Hell yeah, I want to go down there to Philly and play with him. Right now, the way the Sixers are playing, they have better culture, they have better togetherness, and Philly just look like, you know, eye candy, especially Embiid. If I'm James Harden, I definitely want to get traded. And it makes sense for both parties. Because if I'm Brooklyn, I don't know if I'm going to lose James Harden in the offseason. So why not get a Ben Simmons right now? Why not?
I agree with Big Perk on if James Harden wants to play with Joel Embiid. That's understandable because that could be the best pick and roll combination we've seen since Stockton and Malone.
You could argue it could wind up being
the best ever.
Yeah.
But where I vehemently disagree with him and where I think he's dead wrong is that would not be in the best interest of the Nets right now. Why the hell would I want to give my opponent, somebody that I can see in the Eastern Conference semifinals or finals, a rival, a tool like James Harden right now? I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to see Joel Embiid and James Harden, potentially the best pick and roll combination ever to play the game, in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. No. I wait until the offseason and I say, with generational talent like we have here, Key, with James, with Kyrie, and with Kevin Durant, I roll the dice on this and I say, let's try to run it back and let's try to win this thing this year. If we don't, then we can explore trading you in the offseason, James.
Do it
in the offseason. Yes. There's no need to do it right now. You do it in the offseason, and if Ben Simmons is the piece that comes back, I understand what you're saying, Jay, about the pick and roll and what Philly could potentially be to the Nets, but flipping on the other side. If you got Kyrie, KD, and Ben Simmons, that's a thorn in their side as well, even though Ben Simmons can't shoot from the arc, but he got a lot of other stuff. You know, he got a lot
everything
of other
else.
Stuff.
He's got everything else. Like Ben Simmons at his size, his handles basically unprecedented, his defense crazy, can legit guard all five positions. He has vision and passing ability at
Key. Oh, God. He's watching him shoot right now.
What's crazy is in so many other departments, he could be the best ever at his size, but in one department, shooting, it's like psychotic what kind of an issue he has.
I need more to Ben Simmons.
But you're both right about this.
I need Ben Simmons and I need Seth Curry.
Yeah. Tobias Harris.
No, his contract is too big. I need Ben Simmons and I need Seth Curry.
Well, however you get to the deal and get the deal constructed and get it done, whatever it's worth, my whole point is Ben Simmons is the key to the deal.
Yeah.
He's the main piece to the deal. And if I'm giving you James Harden in the offseason, you can give me Ben Simmons and, you know, give me Curry or whoever. Just package it up. Whatever the package is, people think taking Harden away from the Nets is going to completely dilute the Nets. That's not the case.
But real quick, guys. So Ben Simmons is not equal to James Harden. Value as a player. He's just not because the shooting problems are so pronounced,
yes.
Right? Okay. So you're looking at distressed assets. They're both distressed assets. But because they're both distressed, you know, if Harden wants out, then – Harden's still above Simmons. The reason the offseason makes sense is since Harden will be a free agent, if he's like, look, I'm going to sign elsewhere, now you can do a sign and trade, right? Because because you're not going to get full value for him, but you're going to get a lot of it if you move him for Simmons.
And also, if you do that now, Kyrie can only play half the games because of road games. That may not be the case next year. So Kyrie and KD playing together, that's different. Like, look,
but Jay, let me ask you this, though. Because of the shooting issues that he has, Ben Simmons has, and we know James is a pure shooter. He can get out and score with the best of them, whatever the case is. But you still got two, and I'm just talking about next year. I ain't this year. You still got two elite scorers in KD and Kyrie. So even though I'm taking away one scorer, I still got two. Most teams in the NBA, hell, most teams in NBA history only has two scorers that won championships.
Oh,
it's rare as hell to
get their own shot. Yeah,
I love this move in the offseason. I love this move if I have Kyrie Irving full time. And like I said to you before, I also asked for Seth Curry because Joe Harris has been hurt this year. So if you're telling me in that deal I can get Seth Curry and Ben Simmons for James Harden and I combine that with Joe Harris, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, and I have Ben Simmons locked in for the next 3 years, I'll take that in the offseason. Yeah,
unless you can keep Harden, because I hear what you guys are saying. You say two scorers, you mean
Harden or winning a championship.
No doubt. But when you say scorer, Key, you mean two guys who can go get their own shot at a very high level
scores.
And score.
Like, everybody in the NBA can score. Just can you create your own shot?
Here's the thing, and at a certain level, not a six man. You're talking about two all-star caliber dudes.
Yes.
Okay, here's the difference with the Nets and every other team that ever existed. They have three guys who had at historically elite levels at their size, maybe the best ever at almost 7 feet, 6 foot five and 6 foot two or whatever Kyrie is, can go get their own shot as well or better than anyone who ever lived at their size and can make the shot from anywhere on the floor as well. I'm talking about getting to the rim, shooting it from three, shooting free throws, mid-range, ever to anyone who ever lived. Like, you got three of those dudes on the same team. You don't give that up unless you have to.
And by the way, Vegas still has them one of the favorites to win it.
If they're all healthy, they're going to kill everybody. I don't care what anyone says. If they're all healthy, they're going to if they're all healthy and playing, no one's going to stand up to that firepower.
You mean in the East or in the championship?
Period.
Well, all I'm saying, I know Perk was talking about chemistry.
Dudes out West, though, man. That Golden State and that Phoenix, you can't count that out. Okay.
They don't want it with the Nets if the Nets are healthy.
I know people try to use the argument, well, chemistry is a really big thing. I'm like, okay. It was same with last year, right? Like, let's just wait until we get after All-Star break. And how many games realistically do you think KD, Kyrie, and James need to play together to get warmed up?
Eight. Right? Six, eight.
I mean, Kyrie's going to only play road games. I mean,
Jay, that's what happened last year. I'm telling you, I don't know if this is going to work.
Kyrie played every game last year.
But okay, Kyrie did. But early on, I'm like, I don't know if this thing's going to work. And Harden showed up out of shape in the whole thing. They were playing solid defense within 2-3 weeks. Like, and the offense was bananas from the beginning. I mean, do you remember when Harden, they took a West Coast trip, no KD, and Harden and Kyrie may have been in some of the games. They were beating everyone out West, just Harden and sometimes Kyrie.
Yeah, they do need to. Look, I think the two things you worry about with the Nets, Steve Nash, coaching ability, right? Because I think sometimes when you have a lot of superstars, that can make up for lack thereof. And then also where this team is defensively. I mean, their last 10 games, they rank last.
Joe Harris.
Last in the NBA as far as defensive efficiency. Whereas before KD got hurt, they were middle of the pack.
Yeah. That's the other thing about KD.
KD's also a good defender, man. People overlook it because everybody always talks about offensively what it brings.
Can I say something else about this? I mentioned the scoring at all three levels. KD has become an excellent passer, and the lane's always open to him because he's 7 feet with a wingspan, right? Kyrie can obviously pass the ball when he wants to, and James Harden. Like, it's not just the scoring; it's the offense of all three dudes.
Yeah, but you don't need all three to win a championship. Two of the three do just fine.
Yeah, I just want to see it. Ends up being a lot of talk about. I mean, Miami. I know people overlook Miami.
They're good.
Miami's really good. Don't forget, Miami has PJ Tucker. Miami has Kyle Lowry. Yeah. Like they have guys who learn how to win championships before with the Bucks and also with the Toronto Raptors. So you combine
that
with
Jay,
Tyler Herro, Jimmy Butler, the way they play.
Let's choose up teams. Jay,
You mentioned coaching. Spoelstra's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Pretty good coach.
And Milwaukee's there too now.
Look, if the Nets continue to have Kyrie as a part-time player, KD or James Harden dealing with injuries, Harden doesn't really want to be there, the rest of the league has a chance. Just picture in your mind's eye just for a second.
Think about how that
All
sounds.
Three are healthy and continuing to play together. Come on,
how
guys.
How much of a disservice will that be to a game of basketball if we never see this team fully healthy?
Oh,
together?
I just want to see it.
I feel like that's where we're trending.
I don't care if they played in Utah or they played wherever. I just want to see these three dudes get some burn together.
And Key, I don't put, you know, how you and I are as athletes, I don't put that on anybody. I just wonder, like, will we actually see them all healthy?
Oh,
yeah, on the court you together? Will. You will in the playoffs.
Oh, I hope so, because last year we had injury happen. And this year you're only going to see Kyrie and road games, and James already has a hamstring
injury.
If KD is coming off a knee injury, and 2 years ago coming off an Achilles injury, it's like, damn.
If they're healthy, that makes it fair. Having Kyrie only for road games makes it, I'll still like the Nets, but now it's close to 50-50. If they're all healthy, you got to give them some handicap. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by CSX. Mm-hmm. CSX is hiring. Visit CSX.com/careers. That's CSX.com/careers. Let's go back to the big news from the NFL this morning.
I'm happy Lovie is getting his opportunity, but as I've said about the Texans job all along, I would love to know the contract and how it reads.
It's always kind of felt like this, that there were black jobs. Is when a situation is bad, that's a black job.
I'm almost hot and cold. I'm glad a black coach got hired as a head coach, but I'm not going to disbar the situation in which he's hired in and a franchise that seems to have no clear direction on what they want to be or where they want to go.
Preach, Swagoo. Preach.
So Texans defensive coordinator Lovie Smith was promoted to head coach yesterday, and Adam Schefter reports that Dennis Allen has been informed he will become the head coach of the Saints. Eric Bieniemy interviewed for the Broncos and Saints this cycle, but once again gets shut out of head coaching jobs. Bieniemy's contract is up with the Chiefs, guys. Should he go back to the Chiefs? The Chiefs reportedly want him back. They've had a lot of success. They've hosted four straight AFC championship games. They've been to two Super Bowls and won a Super Bowl. Should Eric Bieniemy, Key, want to go back to the Chiefs?
Yeah, there's no better place right now than the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, he's not getting a head coaching job this cycle. The college situation, certainly doors have closed. But I think when you got Patrick Mahomes and you're an offensive coordinator and you're waiting to become a head coach at some point in time, then you just sit tight because that spot might be right there in Kansas City. It might be right there. Your head coaching job might be in Kansas City in the next 12 months or so or 24 months. Andy Reid's not going to coach forever. So maybe the best spot is where you're already at. Why would he leave? To do what? To go coach who if it's not a head coaching job?
Is the thought, Max, that he would go somewhere else to prove that he could win not under the shadow of Andy Reid?
Maybe.
As an OC, maybe, go be an maybe OC people,
maybe
else?
The belief is that Andy Reid is really the one calling the plays.
Key,
hold on. Andy Reid has said very clearly he's not. Maybe that doesn't dissuade some people, okay?
Oh, God.
And also, by the way, Bieniemy has interviewed for a million jobs, right, and hasn't gotten any of them.
So that's my question, Max, because I said this before the show, because I'm like, hey, look, so he's interviewed for approximately 20 vacant positions over the last 5 years, and no team has extended Bieniemy the offer to be full-time head coach. So I'm in the group that wants to see Bieniemy get a shot, but it makes me wonder, like, what else do teams think about him considering 65% of the league? He's interviewed with 65% of the league has not given him a shot. Like, what else is going on? So it makes teams wonder about his ability. Other than, I know we talked a lot about being black and being head coach and opportunity for a guy like this because of his offensive, creative, and you know, kind of innovative style and thinking that he brings to the table, but what else is going on?
Well, until this cycle, I will point out,
that job interviews.
20, Key,
yeah,
in the last 5
but
years.
But I will point out that we're down to, before this cycle started, we were down to one black head coach. So if people are like, well, it can't just be because he's black, right? You would think not, and you would like to think not. But the fact is, no one else was getting hired either until Brian Flores brings this lawsuit. Now we have a couple of so-called minority hires, right?
Well, the coaches that came before Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City didn't have to go to another spot to get hired. Mm-hmm. They certainly got hired from the Kansas City Chiefs. Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, they didn't have to wait in line to get another job. And you mentioned, Jay, what else is there that it could be? Every coach in the National Football League and every player in the National Football League always have question marks because of what people think. Mm-hmm. It is. It's the reality of it. When I come out as the first round pick, number one overall, there's a red flag. Oh, well, what is he? Till they dive into it and be like, oh, well. It always happens. It's not a situation that you look at and you go, huh. There's been questionable hires in the National Football League all the time, every single year. You hear about he doesn't interview extremely well. Well, all those dudes that interview extremely well, they're all fired too now. Matt Nagy, I'm sure he blew the top off of it. Hmm. How did that work out? Joe Judge blew the top off of it. How did that work out?
The bottom fell out.
You know? And so it's like, what do you need to do to become a head coach in the National Football League other than what you're doing, which is all the right things in Kansas City? That's why I say maybe he sits tight and waits for a guy like Andy Reid to step aside, sort of kind of like Tony Dungy did, and then Jim Caldwell got the call and wind up taking the coach to the Super Bowl.
That's what – I mean, like, look, he's also been, as many jobs as he's interviewed for, he's also kind of withdrawn from some, right? And so I would say the best reason to stay right where he is that Andy Reid is not a spring chicken, and yet Patrick Mahomes still is, right?
Yeah.
So if Bieniemy, all the success, all the familiarity where he is, if there's some understanding that he is next in line, were I Bieniemy, I wouldn't go anywhere. I would stay where I am.
Why keep interviewing for jobs?
That's a good question.
Well, like, you keep
my thing is, if there's a serious big conversation
raise,
that says,
a big pay raise in the immediate future.
Yeah, but if you're thinking about if you're thinking about longevity and saying, okay, like I could be here for the next 10 plus years, if I have an understanding that Andy Reid is going to retire in this amount of time, then I will wait. Like, why keep interviewing for opportunities?
Well, he probably that understanding probably isn't there yet, right? That's why I'm saying, if I'm him, I'm just going to sit tight. Yeah. And when the job opportunities – hell, Jay, you said 20, man. It ain't number 32 damn teams.
I hear you, bro.
In about 3 more years, he'd been an interview for the whole damn league except the Kansas City Chiefs.
I have a question.
At some point, he's either going to get a job or he's going to get the Kansas City Chiefs job.
I have a question. I'm just totally ignorant of the answer. It's a legitimate question, Key. It's not rhetorical. Have you ever heard of a white coordinator – interviewing with 20 different teams and not getting a head coaching job?
I don't believe so. Like, I don't think I've ever heard of interviewing with more than 4 teams, to be honest with you.
It's a staggering number.
But that is because he is a coordinator, and every single year his name comes up, and people kind of want to check the box to see what that is. A guy named Marvin Lewis, I'm sure you guys know who that is, the head coach, former head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. He went through a very similar situation when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, and then he had to leave the Baltimore Ravens because of contract. They didn't extend his contract, give him more money. He went to the Washington football team, Commanders, and the name changes every other day, it feels like, to be under Steve Spurrier as the defensive coordinator. Then he finally got hired, and he spent, I believe, 16 to 18 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. So eventually it worked out, but Marvin had to wait his turn too. Those same questions, Max, that you just asked me were being raised back then for Marvin Lewis.
There's a lot of similarities between Marvin Lewis and Eric Bieniemy. Both built Super Bowl caliber, historic, for Bieniemy on the offensive side of the ball, for Marvin Lewis on the defensive side of the ball. And Marvin Lewis interviewed for a lot of jobs. People thought he was going to be Keys coach in Tampa when it went to John Gruden. Like he was a finalist, and everybody thought the front runner for the job. And so I think Bieniemy very similarly has gone through these cycles where everybody thinks, oh, he's going to get that job. Now he's going to get that job. I do wonder if, like Marvin Lewis, if he went to another team, like, say, you know, let's say the Saints, who have hired Dennis Allen, or, you know, another team that hired a defensive-minded coach, and he goes and builds an offense with a young quarterback there and proves it, I wonder how quickly teams would recognize and hire him, because it only took Marvin Lewis one season in Washington for people to realize, okay, this guy can do it outside of Baltimore. But, so Evan, I wonder if that's the same path Bieniemy should consider. It's Evan, a different path, and I get it. Nobody else has had to do that. Yeah. But he's gone through this now four straight years. I wonder if at some point he should change his path to try and become a head coach if the Chiefs is not an option.
No, I see exactly what you're saying as far as that goes, but the situations and the circumstances were a little bit different, right? Everybody in the world knew that Marvin Lewis was calling the defense of the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
Everybody knew that.
Yes.
And even to the fact that, to the point, everybody should know now that Eric Bieniemy is calling the offense for the Kansas City Chiefs because the head coach, Big Red, the man in charge, has said so. Why do we have to push back on that if he's telling you?
I'm not talking about.
No, not you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying people, the owners of these teams, the general managers, the individuals that are making these decisions, if they're making the decision to hire Eric Bieniemy based on whether or not he's calling the plays, when the coach, the head coach is telling you he's the guy calling it, why are we even going down that avenue and having that conversation?
My point is, Evan, the attention on his candidacy would grow if he went and did it with another quarterback.
Can you imagine, Evan, if you're Eric Bieniemy, how frustrated that you would be?
100%.
Understanding that Kevin O'Connell, okay, like, he didn't make any calls, like, behind Sean McVay. Like, he gets a job. Oh, okay. Mike McDaniel, he didn't make any calls under Kyle Shanahan. He gets a job. Oh, Nathaniel Hackett, right? Like, Matt LaFleur, he didn't make any calls. Like, he gets a job. So, I'm making the calls, but I'm not getting a job, but now I have to go somewhere else to prove.
You know what the easiest way that you're
– so frustrating.
You know what you're saying, Jay, to me? You guys remember Sam Jackson in A Time to Kill? Matthew McConaughey,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And in the end, he's making all these good points. McConaughey is his attorney, and there was a revenge crime, and finally Sam Jackson tells McConaughey, his white attorney, he's like, look, I didn't hire you because, you know, you're going to make this legalistic argument. I hired you because you know the way these people think and feel, right? The white jury. I need you to hit them in the heart, basically. Mm. So McConaughey asks the jury to close their eyes. And he takes them through, because Sam Jackson committed the crime, but it was revenge. He had a very good reason for doing it, right?
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And he takes them through this horrific crime, the jury, committed against Sam Jackson's daughter, which is why he got revenge. And he takes them through this whole crime. And as I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, this ain't going to hit him in the heart. Whatever, they already. And then he said, I want you to imagine all this. And now imagine the girl is white. And the jury all opens their eyes like, oh, now we get it. And they let Sam Jackson off, right? The best way to describe what's happening to Eric Bieniemy is what you just said about O'Connell, Jay. Mm-hmm. Forget about all the particulars for a second. Just imagine, close your eyes, and imagine Bieniemy was white.
Max.
Four times to the AFC Championship hosting, plus a Super Bowl win. 20 interviews, not a single offer.
Hey, Max,
yes.
We got to get the break, and I know it ain't happening, so he ain't going to be white. He is what he is.
No, but
not gonna happen.
I hear exactly what you're saying, no, Max.
That's the point. He's not going to be, but
yeah,
he should be
happen.
Treated the same.
Yeah.
What makes Joe Burrow that guy? A Super Bowl champion who helped Burrow win a national title in college is next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN News all morning.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
I mean, I call him Joe Thorough. I like Joe Thorough better than Joe. Joe Burr is pretty good.
Joe Burr.
Yeah, Joe Burr.
It reminds me of like Ice Trey, though. It's kind of like, I'm like, I can't really. I don't know.
If you say Burr, it almost sounds like Burrow.
Burr.
Yeah. Yeah. But Joe Thorough is perfect. Yeah, that's mine. I'm trying to push that one.
Is this are you still sticking with the whole Patrick Mahomes calculated risk thing that you pulled off with Tom Brady? Is that where you're going? You know how like you have a one take that you kind of push it to the edge?
So wait, what's the Mahomes one? I don't understand.
I don't know. I was asking you because you have like you're good for one that you stick with, and it becomes.
Well, you know what a hot take is, and Key knows this, and you know this.
I don't know a hot take.
Yeah, you do. A hot take is a take that, like, look, most of us agree on 90% of the stuff, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes is a good football player. Really, Sherlock? Yeah, we all understand that. But if you really think something through, sometimes, once in a while, you're going to come to a counterintuitive conclusion, a conclusion that if you don't hear the explanation, you're like, what? That's nuts. Then you got to explain the way you think, and then you're like, oh, okay, I see the reasoning. A hot take is simply that conclusion before you get to the thought behind it. So it makes clickbait. It makes a headline. Oh, my God, he said something outrageous. Well, actually, we don't all agree on everything, and I got a different point of view about this. So do
yes,
I have
an opinion. That's correct.
Do I have a hot take about Patrick Mahomes? I don't think so.
Okay. I say no. You know, every once in a while they come out.
And had one on Carson Wentz. It was right.
I got a hot take on Patrick Mahomes.
What's up?
He's cutting all his hair off. You'll see next year.
All right.
What?
It's not hot. It's not even tepid. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by.
He wants to look like J. Will.
Progressive Insurance. So, if you believe it, you should say it. Like,
I understand.
If there are 100 people in a room, and 99 people are telling.
I didn't mean to take you down this rabbit hole. It's supposed to be like a real quick.
So why did you? Then?
I know
you
that's
know,
on me.
Why would you do that?
As I
because you
doing,
already
I like,
know.
I know.
Max is gonna go. He gonna go 30 times. Then he gonna stop. Right. And he gonna come back and go another 30 times.
You know what, Key? It's like being in college when I turn the ball over. I just gotta. I turn it over. That's on me. Let's
if
move
there
forward.
Are 100,
don't pass the ball to Max again.
If there
Jay.
Are 100 people in a room. Yeah, that's what Key knows
he's
about
still
shooting.
Still going down the hole.
Key knows
that's,
about shooting. Dribbling
that's why
too.
I said don't pass it to him.
If there are 100 people in a room and 99 are telling you you're nuts, you should reconsider your opinion. But if you do and you still think you're right, you should not back down. Odell Beckham Jr. said the following about what makes Joe Burrow cool. Listen to this.
I think if you look up cool in the dictionary, there's a picture of him in some Cartier shades. This guy is smooth, and truly, as I was from afar, and then getting to meet him, you know, championship time, going back and kind of just kicking it with him, like, you can't help but like this guy.
Man, dude had a mink coat on, man.
What's you're not to like?
That? You're right. I mean, like, you know, not that I don't want Peter coming after me, but I'm just saying, that's like some swag, you know what I'm saying, for Joe B, as I would like to call him. He got like 1,000 nicknames. But the chain is the one that stood out everything to me.
The question that, about the chain.
Yeah, the fact that he let everybody know this is real. I make too much money to be walking around here with some fugazis on.
Don't you think that that little stint that he had down at LSU, granted, the way he was able to complete one of the best seasons we've ever seen, but Key, I was laughing about hearing OBJ say that. I just remember OBJ being on the field, dapping everybody up with money, right?
And I just, don't know anything.
It was documented. It was on camera.
Yes, video. Yes, this video.
You can't hide it. Anyway. Just
why
like,
do you sound so guilty when you say that? Key, like you're trying I don't know anything about it. What? No one said anything that you knew.
Imagine
anything.
That. College players getting money.
Yeah.
Imagine that. They haven't been getting money since the beginning of time. Anyway, I don't know why I did that.
Go to the players. But you know when a college team starts to stink after, like, there's some scandal, go to the players' parking lot and see the cars that are parked there. Hey, what happened to the Range Rovers? They're gone. Yeah.
All I'm saying is, Jay.
I was trying to get there. All I'm saying is Joe Burrow, it feels like for that second, just dipped into that environment. Like, it added an extra element that – maybe I'm not sure he would have had if he never went to a place like LSU. Mm-hmm. I just want to give that a little bit of credit because I think we kind of like gloss over that because we always talk about winning a championship. But that being part of that culture and then having that be translated into football for Cincinnati, it feels like he was dipped into something that gave him a little bit of extra culture to it.
Well, when you go from Ohio State to the SEC in the South and you're at LSU and you're dealing with a different type of player, type of athlete, environment, all of those sort of things, and you tend to maybe he took on his personality grew because it's really all about his personality, and I think his personality is refreshing for especially somebody like me that played with a bunch of quarterback traditional style quarterbacks that, you know, everything had to be calculated. It was like here you go. Read it straight, line by line.
Stiffs. This is the word is like, stiffs.
I'm trying to be nice.
To their play
I'll say
too.
Really relate to black culture. Like really, like understand.
Well, I'm trying to be nice, Max. I'm not. I got some good quarterback friends in there.
Yeah.
Vinny's in the Brads, Johnsons. Those are my guys.
Yeah.
You know, but it just as a whole though, in that quarterback culture and upbringing, when I came into the league, everything was stiff, so to speak, Max. Everything was calculated. You had to walk a certain way. You had to stand tall. You had to shake hands a certain way. It was almost like...
Did you have to speak that way, too?
No, Max. Jay, come on, man. It's me, man. Now, you know, I don't even rock like that. That's why I go against the grain. That's why it's always a problem with people like me. But anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked. So when you talk about Joe Burrow, he has... that kind of energy that resonates with everybody.
Yeah. And he's not apologetic about who he is.
He can deal with everybody. In certain quarterbacks around this league and in the past and even in the present, they stick right down the line. Everything is what the organization wants them to say. The organization is the leader. They want you to be a certain way. That's not Joe. Mm. I wouldn't be shocked if Joe hangs out mainly with the defensive players. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
We're asking at Key J Max on Twitter, who will be the face of the NFL after Tom Brady? Want to know the results, guys? Lamar got 1.5%. Other got 13.7%. Joe Burrow came in second with 34%. So who came in first with 50%?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
See what happens, what people say if he wins the Super Bowl, though.
Lamar can only get 1%?
Someone who knows Joe Burrow well and will help him understand what Key just said about him. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN, or will help understand what Key just said about him. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Coming up tomorrow on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. How aggressive will the Washington Commanders be in landing a quarterback this offseason? Find out when head coach Ron Rivera joins Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Ron Rivera, tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Three-time Super Bowl champion Kevin Faulk with us now. Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for joining.
Good morning, man. Sorry about my tardiness.
What's up, Faulk, man?
You good?
See, Kevin, the audience doesn't even know what time you're supposed to be on. They're just like, oh, look at this.
Well, you know how we are. I'm still kind of professional. You know, I had a little incident last night where the alarm went off and I had to go walk around the house and the yard for a little bit. So going back to sleep was kind of tough.
So you were there with Joe Burrow with LSU in 2019 and 20. When did you realize after being around Joe that he was different, that he was special?
If you remember that first year he came in, he got in kind of late, like the first week of like fall camp. He came in, really sat back, and it was kind of different because the first day he was with one of our tight ends, Foster Morrow, who is with the Raiders right now, and then the next day he was with someone else, and then you seen him again with another group of people. I mean, it was like, wow. This guy is really trying to fill his way out, fill the team out. The first year didn't go so well, but that spring, the second year, after the spring, I'm like, wow, this team looks a little different. This chemistry looks a little different. Joe looks a little different. And I'm like, wow, I can't wait to get back in the fall camp. When we get back to fall camp, and it's the same thing, and it's like, uh-oh, they are in trouble. I can remember telling friends, like, it's going to be a different LSU team this year. Watch and see.
Mm. What's up, K-Falk, man?
Oh, I'm chilling, Keith. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. Pito told me to tell you what's up, too.
Oh, man, tell Pito I say what's up, man.
No, I certainly will. You had Joe at LSU with you, obviously, as an assistant coach, winning the national championship. Why do you think he's able to play his best on the biggest stages?
Focus, willingness to learn the game. I've seen a lot of attributes in Joe that I've seen in Tom. I know he hates the comparison, but when your focus level, your concentration level, when you study the game as much as he studies the game and knows what's going on during the course of the game, and I've seen it before, I'm like, wow, yeah, he has that in him.
Kevin, how different is the Super Bowl from the College Football National Championship?
The next level. You know how they say every next level you gotta rise up. It's the next level of this. It's the next level of the national championship. Mm. The feeling can be the same, but it's just the level is different. You just gotta level up.
Kevin Faulk, 2022 College Football Hall of Fame inductee, three-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will. in Max. Do you think, Kevin, that Joe could take some of the things that, from a preparation standpoint, that he used getting ready for the national championship game, just preparation, the way he did things, and apply that to getting ready for the Super Bowl, although one is bigger than the other?
I think the preparation is going to be the same because, you know, we are routine guys by nature. I think he wants to be routine. I think everything he does, he wants to keep it the same. I don't think he wants to change anything, and I think it's going to be the same. But like you said, it's a different stage, so you got to adjust that. You know, your level has to go up a little bit, like I said earlier.
So what's it going to be like, man, going into the College Football Hall of Fame? Have you thought about that?
Oh, wow. First of all, like I say, I didn't believe it was going to happen for a few more years or so, have that opportunity. But with everything that has happened to me over the past 6-7 months, it's been one of like the thing that lifted me and my family up, the beginning of the year. So it's going to be a very special moment for us.
Kevin, we've been talking to Kevin Falk here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Ready. We've been talking this morning about if the Cincinnati Bengals win the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow being the face of the NFL, much like your former teammate Tom Brady was during his career. What do you think, like, if they win the Super Bowl, is Joe Burrow now the face of the NFL? Is it still Patrick Mahomes in Brady's absence? Is it Aaron Rodgers? What do you think?
I still think he has to earn a little more, but I think he's sure enough shown that, he deserves some conversation with being the face of the NFL. But those other guys, they've earned their key. But I think Joe understands and know where he is.
Kevin, Max just mentioned Tom Brady and being the face of the league. 22 years in the National Football League. You won 3 Super Bowl titles with him. We know his number of 7 and appearing in 10. What did you make of his announcement to retire after a long, long 22 years?
Well, first of all, I had to hear it from his mouth first. I said it as soon as it happened. It was like happy and sad all at the same time. I retired all over again. The end of our team, our dynasty is like gone now because he was one of the last pieces. It's just a lot of different emotions that went on with it.
Mm. So that's Kevin Falk, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin, we appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Thanks.
Thanks, Kev.
I appreciate y'all having me, man. Thank you very much.
Keep that head up, too.
Yes, sir, definitely.
Yeah, it's interesting, guys, that even someone who was very high on Joe Burrow right from the beginning, right, for obvious reasons, is saying he needs to earn a little more before he'd be the face of the league. I just wonder, though, if he – like, it's easy to say that now. Right. And I would agree. Like the way the votes came in, Patrick Mahomes 50%, because Mahomes has been to 2 Super Bowls, won one, but to 4 conference titles, won an MVP, 50 touchdown season, the whole thing. But I wonder, because he just beat Patrick Mahomes to get to the Super Bowl. If he wins, not how we're thinking about it, but how are we going to be feeling the next morning? Right. Like Joe Burrow's ascension, it's going to be tough, I think, emotionally. In the off season, not to start thinking about him as the face of the league if he wins, seems to me.
Yeah, it all just depends on what the face of the league really entails. Like, what is it? Is it marketing? Is it the NFL marketing? Is it off the field? Like, what is it that's going to catapult him to becoming the face of the league? I'm a little shocked that Lamar only got 1%, but
yeah,
I think it's him with the cigars. It's him with the leg injury and battling back through that. It's him and his legacy that he had from LSU, one of the greatest college football teams the game has ever seen. I think it's all that package.
It's also
if they win it,
the injury is the only supposed failure, right? It's not even a failure because he came back from it heroically. He hasn't really experienced failure on the NFL level yet.
It's like when one winner leaves, Tom Brady, another winner arrives.
Oof. The Nets trade rumor, we got to get into it. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.